KCZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Sources tell ABC that Lindsay Halligan, the new U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, is preparing to go to a grand jury to try to get an indictment against former FBI head James Comey. ABC Chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce with more.
When Halligan reported to work Monday, sources tell ABC News prosecutors presented her with a memo recommending that Comey not be charged with the crime, saying there was not enough evidence. But sources tell us Halligan is prepared to seek an indictment anyway, that she will soon attempt to convince a grand jury there is probable cause to charge Comey with lying to Congress and obstruction of justice.
The White House telling agencies to prepare for large-scale firings of federal workers if the government shuts down next week. ICE facility stepping up security following the deadly shooting at a detention center in Dallas Wednesday. Starbucks plans to lay off 900 employees, says it'll close some U.S. and Canadian stores. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation will soon begin accepting applications for agricultural roads improvement grant funding. According to a press release, the application period for the first round of grant funding through the new biennial state budget will open on October 6th. $50 million will be available during the first round to support projects across the state focused on improving rural roads and culverts. The grant funding is meant to make transporting the state's agricultural and forestry products more efficient. Northern Wisconsin Congressman Tom Tiffany has officially announced he will run for governor in the 2026 election. In his announcement, Tiffany said his top priority would be improving Wisconsin's business climate. He's the third Republican to enter the race so far, joining Washington County Executive Josh Showman and New Berlin businessman Bill Berrien. Five candidates have announced in the Democratic primary field, including Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, State Senator Kelda Royce, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley. A Ladysmith City administrator and his sister have been arrested after allegedly attempting to illegally record a closed county board session. According to the Rusk County Sheriff's Office, 37-year-old Alan Christensen and his 34-year-old sister Stephanie Christensen are facing charges of attempting to use electronic, mechanical, or other devices to intercept oral communications in relation to the closed county board session on August 26th. Video footage allegedly shows Stephanie using her cell phone to record the session through a closed door. City of Stone Lake officials are inviting residents to celebrate the 47th annual Cranberry Festival next weekend. The yearly event will be held from October 2nd to 5th and could see as many as 30,000 visitors throughout the weekend. Next Saturday will be the busiest day of the festival, with over 300 vendors scheduled to set up shop throughout the downtown area. There will also be a parade at 2 p.m. beginning near the water tower and heading down the Main Street Hill. More information is available on the Cranberry Festival website. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers back to begin their final home series of the regular season against the Reds tomorrow night. The crew with a 3-1 win in San Diego, thanks to an RBI by Bryce Turang and solo home run shot in the ninth by catcher Danny Jansen, originally from Appleton, Wisconsin.
Just feeling more confident at the dish. Got to be on time with a fastball and got a slider kind of inner half maybe and just put a good swing on it.
College football, the Badgers face number 19th ranked Michigan Saturday at 11 a.m. in Ann Arbor. Urban Meyer saying on a podcast Wisconsin could not afford to fire head coach Luke Fickell after his contract extension. The Packers play the Cowboys on Sunday night. Micah Parsons asked, how does he think he'll be greeted by the fans in Dallas?
You know, I think Dallas loves me. You know, I think they're going to give me a good round of applause. And, you know, there's no hard feelings there, at least for me. And I think it's going to be, like I said, it's going to be a great atmosphere. The best football you're going to get in Dallas when it's Sunday night against, you know, a rivalry opponent.
That's Micah Parsons with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 75 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop to a low of 50. Tomorrow, another nice day, sunshine with a high of 72. And this sunny, warmer than average weather will continue through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Todd Alba.
Jimmy Kimmel is back on Late Night. Keegan Kelly is in from crack.com to tell us what it means moving forward, and we'll recombobulate with Dan Schaefer. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here. Kind of, sort of up north. I mean, for the rest of the country, all of Wisconsin is America's up north. But we're in Madison today, actually, Studio A2, along with Parker Olson, who is producing this fine program. And again, we'll say at the top of this hour, believe it or not, we're in the same room.
This is the same room.
Which is this is only the second time that I've done shows down here when Parker's here. True. And apparently the last time around, I complained.
I just a little.
About the sparse, bare
decor
void behind me.
Yeah.
And so now there's like this table, there's multiple spotlights, there's the show logo, the old logo, but hey, it's a logo. Yeah,
something
is on a monitor behind me. I mean, this is very Hollywood.
It is. And I have a feeling it's temporary.
And yet I know you can just barely tell on the Parker camera angle, there's a little bit of blue light coming off his microphone stand there.
Oh yeah.
That indicate, oh yeah, and then the banner behind him that says there seems to be, did a UFO land in front of him or something? What's going on?
But it's just me. Pat Kreitlow.
It's just me. Yeah. Now we turn to his camera, and there I am over there looking nothing like in the left camera. Because in this one, I look like I've actually, you know, I'm healthy and have been well fed, not emaciated and green in the gills like the one that you normally have here in the studio.
I will say my camera looks better with there being something over there.
Well, it's the lighting. Lighting is very important. Brittany's going to back me up on this. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here. Brittany, you've done a little bit of TV in your day.
Yes, I have, and it's all about the lighting.
It is
blinding sometimes.
Yes,
yours is very Vegas. I like it.
I know it really is. And again, of course, because I've got to say something that makes me sound horribly old.
Oh boy.
But just if you've ever heard the term Klieg lighting, Klieg was the brand name of the old fashioned spotlights, those great big black cone type spotlights, and they were called Klieg lights, and that's what, you know, we had going back 40 years now. And so when you talk about hot studio lights, that was what people would reference, because those puppies, I mean, they were hot. By comparison, now with all the LEDs and everything, you don't get that heat source anymore. Thank goodness.
That's so true.
I know.
But it makes me, you're sending me back to my studio days now where the heat from those lights, because the meteorologist is always sitting in the studio. That's our office, right? All of those lights, they keep the AC on so cold in the studio while you're trying to work with those lights. Oh, it was just blanket time.
And ours too. We'd come into the studio and there's our meteorologist, and she'd be in a jacket on a hot day because it was a meat locker in there because of the old hot lighting. So I am glad to see that lighting has developed over time here. Although, like our listener said before, you know, they still preferred the natural lighting off the Lake Wissota studio. And the same goes for you. You've got some very lovely natural lighting there. So
thank you.
Are you going to tell me that this is all, you've got like six ring lights in front of you just to, you know, make it look proper?
I actually have I do have a ring light in front of me. I have another tall one in the corner. And then I also have a happy light, too. So three lights from every corner. Then I got the backlight because you need all of it or it won't work.
Yeah.
So, you got the whole three-point lighting thing going on. Wow.
I was
going
to say, here's my dirty little secret. There are actually five lights that I have to turn on in my home office for the for the lighting there.
And are we counting ceiling lights?
Yeah, there's a ceiling light. There's a ring light. There's a halogen light. There's the bookshelf lights. And then there's the adjust the curtains for natural lighting.
Wow.
Yeah. So
I guess I'm at the same number then.
Thanks for joining us for Lighting Talk today, where we would normally have a weather report. But since Brittany's here, I mean, we may as well go ahead. Because, you know, yesterday all we had was the natural light, and that was enough. It was gorgeous. And so where do we go from here?
More and more of that natural light. Plenty of it. So much of it that maybe some of us will get sick of it. Nah, we're going to love it. We are looking bright and beautiful. Once this fog clears, it is dense in places. A lot of spots are already seeing it lift, but the dense fog advisory remains in effect until 9 from Ashland to Green Bay and north. So up north in the state, but it is still in low-lying areas, especially in the rivers off west too. So temperatures this morning, we hit 39 degrees in Merrill. Pretty crisp. That's because we didn't have many clouds out there. And so as the fog burns off, it's leading way to beautiful sunshine. Mostly sunny, statewide, nothing happening today. We're all going to rise to those mid-70s feeling fantastic. We'll repeat that up north tomorrow. Some 80s will be felt down south tomorrow. And we're going to continue to be in the upper 70s to low 80s for the entire weekend and into early next week. We hold mild and above average for next week as well. Because mind you, this time of year, we should be in the upper 60s across the state. So 80s is fantastic. And we're going to hold on to that for all next week, too. I don't see rain in the forecast until next weekend.
And so, again, I don't know when everybody's going to be doing their field work. But for any field work, any harvesting that can get done next week, you're welcome. Because it's going to be a good week for that, along with anything else that you might be planning. Brittany Merlot, thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too, thanks.
All right, let's bring in Chad Holmes now from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau to talk about the things that he's been following. He does, of course, you know, 10,000 high school football games this time of year. He's got, of course, all of the local interviews that he does during this particular program during the 7 and 8 a.m. hours. And then, of course, he's following some national headlines as well. And so, Chad, I know that We'll talk about Tom Tiffany in a moment here, because obviously he's the congressman there. He's running for governor and everything else. But you tell me, you also noticed that one of the congressional candidates in the 3rd District, Becca Cook, made a comment, and that you heard us talking about it on the show recently, her noting an endorsement of Zoran Mamdani in the New York City mayor's race.
Well, number one, I'm a big fan of whenever Todd Alba brings on Pat Kreitlow on his program, and then I'm always make sure to tune in, and Rigby Olson and you three get together, and I have to be, you know, tuned in because
Wednesdays at 2 o'clock.
I'm a huge fan, and yesterday you guys were talking about this, and you all agreed that basically that Becca Cook should not have answered the question on whether or not who she would support if she was voting.
Yes,
in New York.
I went under the supposition that it was a question designed to bait you, that there is no right answer. So try to come up with the least wrong answer, because you're being baited, and don't take the bait. So that was my premise, to say you don't have to answer it. So you do not agree.
I have a different premise on a couple of different ways of looking at it. Number one is, I think the idea of, and I heard, I don't know, I think it was maybe you or Trigby talking about, instead of answering it that way, is that you would, I care about who's the mayor of
Tolma or La Crosse.
Whatever it may be. Number one, I think at this point we need folks who are willing to answer the questions and not play the consultant games. That was my first thought. It sounded like this is the kind of answer that a consultant would give you. And basically, my opinion is that the consultants for the Democratic Party have run the party into a ditch and made a bunch of people that are sounding like robotic candidates. And we hear all the time about the right kind of language, or, you know, in terms of how Democrats should be running. And I think we're running these candidates around in circles when we should be looking for the bulwarks of this world right now. That if there's one thing that MAGA has proven, is that they can go as far right as possible if people seem to think that in some way they're being authentic. And yet here, in this case, that's one part of the answer. And then the second part, for somebody like myself, and I've said it to you, that Becca Cook, the first thing that pops into my mind, what is the first thing that pops into my mind? What have I told you before? The commercial with her in the
her
middle,
in the
of,
middle
the
of the road. Yes, exactly.
And basically, my thought was, when I hear people saying, oh, she should avoid answering the question, mm-hmm. and she should give the consultant response, my first thought is, well, then you may as well dust off the old middle of the road commercial and put that back on, because that's exactly what it would have implied to me. I found that she answered it straightforward as something that was very surprising, number one. And number two, it gave me more of an appreciation for her and for folks like myself, maybe that are not from the mushy middle, that, and I'm going to be maybe a little bit elbows out here, that the Lincoln Projectization of the Democratic Party.
Ooh, okay.
I think that we have to be thinking a little bit more about the people that bring the passion to the party and not go after people that may or may not vote in the end anyways. Because I go back to last year. There were a lot of folks, I would say, from that wing of political thinking that thought, holy cow, this was the most wonderful thing that we ever saw when Liz Cheney and Kamala Harris came to Wisconsin and campaigned. Mm-hmm. In the end, how many votes did that get? Not many. Because the people that were already voting for Kamala were voting for Kamala. The people on the other side of the aisle looked at Liz Cheney as a traitor to the party. I don't think that running as for the mushy middle is, number one, the smart way to run. And I don't think it's a successful way to run. And that's just my opinion. Again, I just think that we need to grasp the energy in order to beat the energy that is out there. We can talk about Derek Van Orden and how horrible he is, but there are still a lot of people that will crawl on glass to vote for Derek Van Orden. Yeah. We need to have people that are willing to crawl on glass to vote for Becca Cook or whoever wins that Democratic primary. That's just my thought on, you know, my first thought was, again, the consultants are out there telling
yes.
us to be very moderate and to be trying to get to the middle. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that's a winning strategy for Democrats in 2026.
And I completely understand that. On its face, when both Todd and Trigvi said, well, you know, I think the right answer would be, I care who the mayor is in La Crosse or Toma. You'll recall that my answer really showed why I would not be a good candidate, because my answer would have been a very sincere one. Don't know. Don't care. You know, I'm running here. The last thing I care about is who's running for mayor in New York City.
Can I ask you a question, though?
Yeah.
And I'm just generally, from what you've seen around the country here, sure. when it comes to that particular candidate, mm-hmm. why is there such a reticence for Democrats to endorse the Democratic nominee? Would we see anybody that is too conservative in the Democratic Party have all this hand-wringing to be able to say, I support the Democratic nominee for this important office? I just find that, again, there's this idea that somehow you can always be a little too far to the left, but you can never be too far to the right, whether within the Democratic Party or within the political system itself.
That is a very valid point. And it's also why I would point people to upnorthnewswi.com, because the answer is the S word, that Zoran Mamdani embraces the term socialist. And there is now a socialist caucus in the Wisconsin legislature made up of four lawmakers, including Christian Phelps of Eau Claire. And I would really urge people to read the op-ed that we recently published from him of why he is embracing the socialist label. Fran Hong talked on this program, candidate for governor, said the same thing, that socialist label holds her accountable to keeping her promise that things should benefit everybody, not just a few. Now, the answer to your question is, of course, a lot of consultants and party leaders, I mean, they still pucker up like crazy at the mere mention of the S word. And you've got people like Francesca Hong and Christian Phelps and Zoran Mamdani pushing back and saying, no. We're embracing these values, and they're doing just what you're saying, is be honest and fight for what you believe in.
And real quickly as well, if you look at the recent polling on these issues, if we can somehow get to a real discussion of issues, and that's on me, and that's on other people with microphones, that would go a long way towards taking away maybe some of that stigma as well.
Yeah, exactly. So there he goes. Tony puts on YouTube, sneakily spicy Chad today. Chad Holmes, catch him on 98.
All perspective. That's what we do around here, right?
I know. It's our stock and trade. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you, too.
Bye-bye. All right. We'll have Sean O'Malley talking about your money in the markets and Joe Specky all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the goal for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
The Buzz of the North is now your home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball.
And he struck him out swinging. Went right back to that sinker and strikes out Iglesias to strand the Mets with the bases loaded.
The Buzz of the North. Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH, the Buzz of the North.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. Tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. I'm talking today with Heather Ledzik of the Cable Area Chamber of Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
I'm doing good. We're looking forward to fall.
Good.
And we're going to be talking about your fall festival coming up September 26th and the 27th right downtown Cable Area. Tell me all about it. How do things start off on the 26th, Friday night at 4 o'clock? What's going on?
Yes, this is our 23rd Fall Fest, and on Friday night, we have a street dance, and so we have a big tent set up behind the chamber.
Okay.
We have live music. Nick Kuka will be, he's a local favorite, and he will be performing starting at 5 till 7, and then we have the Whitecaps playing until 10:30 that night, and the Whitecaps are just awesome. They play just about anything, and super, super fun. We had them last year, and people just loved them.
Yeah.
So we'll have food trucks. So we've got about 10 food trucks signed up right now. So there'll be a variety of carnival food that you can eat. We'll have a beer and wine tent. We'll have some street games and things to do. We'll have a pie eating contest.
Ooh.
And a bake sale.
What kind of pies?
The pie eating contest. You know, I haven't decided yet what the pies will be for the pie eating contest.
Is it the contestant choice?
Last year we had a variety.
Contestant choice on the pie?
Well, we did that last year, but I'm not sure that was fair because, you know, so I think we may have to just go with a standard pie. That is one of our new Friday night traditions. We're really excited. We'll have Angry Minnow Beer, which everybody loves.
Yep.
We'll have a 50-50 raffle, and then, like I said, we'll have some events out on the street for fun. We'll have some fire pits, and we'll probably have beer pong and cornhole. But that is just our Friday night kickoff for Fall Fest. Yep. So we're hoping people can come and join us. We hope for good weather, of course, but we're going rain or shine, that's for sure.
Everything continues then on Saturday, September 27th. What time does that open? Well, it looks like you start off with a pancake breakfast.
Yes, we do a pumpkin pecan pancake breakfast. That starts at 7:30, and that's at our Cable Community Center, which is just a couple blocks off of the main Dragon Cable.
Yeah.
The other festivities on Main Street and right in the center of town start at 9 a.m. We have our street craft vendors, artists, all sorts of things. Last year we had 85 vendors on the streets of Cable,
wow,
which was just
yeah,
the biggest ever. And, we've outgrown almost our space. We've got to get creative this year,
sure,
on how we're going to arrange that. But we had, I think, 15 food vendors, and we had everything from candles to woodworkers to clothing to bake sales. And we even had one of our churches do a mother's booth where, or you could call it a parent's booth, where if you have a baby that needs to be changed and needs a little nap or to rest,
yes,
or mothers that need to feed their
mm-hmm
children, they can go into this little quiet area and relax and have a place to sit.
What
while,
a good idea.
Yeah, that's been a really nice thing. So we also have a car show, a classic car show.
I saw
and
that.
I mean, it's
yeah,
cars, trucks, motorcycles. Yes, and we usually have about 70 to 80
wow
participants.
Okay.
We have 10 categories. That is just really fun. We have a kids' choice where the kids get to vote on their favorite. That goes from 10 to 2. We also will have bounce houses. Bounce houses and kids' activities out on the lawn. We've got a giant New Holland inflatable tractor for them to slide on. We also have
yeah
someone this year that's going to come and give hay rides, which will be really, really fun.
Sure.
So,
that'll be fun.
And, of course, can't really forget the music that we'll have on Saturday. On Saturday, we start off the day with the world famous Sean and Ian,
yes,
everybody's favorite.
Yep.
Yes, Sean and Ian will be playing from 10 to 1 right at the Chamber. And from 1 to 4, we have a band called The Whiskey Chase. And they are going to come for the afternoon of Saturday for Fall Fest.
Okay.
We're really, really excited to have them.
I see in here you have a youth entrepreneur market. Now, that's very interesting. What is that about?
Yeah, this was an idea that was brought to us by the Bayfield County Economic Development Corporation, and their former director, Cole Rabska, had seen this youth entrepreneur market when he was out west on a hunting trip. And basically what it is it gives kids that are not like established business owners, or they're just really interested, or they make a craft, or they make something that they think, you know, I think I would like to have my own business someday and
right
sell a product. So they get a chance to have a free booth, and they get to sell and learn what it's like to be an entrepreneur
and
make their products and sell them. This is just for little kids. I mean, kids under the age of 16 who are just getting started in this field. So it gives them an opportunity to get their feet wet in the field and see what it's all about to have their own business.
Very cool. Well, Heather, thank you for chatting with us. We're talking about the Cable Area Fall Festival coming up September 26th and the 27th. If you want more information about it, where can people go to find more information, Heather?
Well, you can go to our website, which is cable4fun.com. That's cable4fun.com. And right on the top right corner, you'll see a 23rd Annual Cable Fall Fest Countdown Calendar. You can click on that. And we have all of our sponsors and the schedule of events and all the times and locations.
All right. Very cool. Well, Heather, thanks for chatting with me today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you for having me.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development have announced a new round of commercial driver training grant funding. According to a press release, the program aims to support the state's driving workforce with sustainable wages, recruitment, and helping drivers obtain a commercial driver's license. Trainers who are listed on the Federal Training Provider Registry operate in Wisconsin and provide training that meets entry-level requirements could receive a portion of the funding. Applications will be accepted until October 28th. Republican State Representative Scott Krug has introduced a proposal to allow clerks to begin counting absentee ballots a day earlier. The current election process requires clerks to wait until Election Day to count absentee ballots, causing delays in larger areas of the state like Milwaukee and Madison. The proposal would also require absentee ballot drop boxes to have 24-hour video surveillance live streamed on the local municipality's website and require that ballots be transferred from the drop boxes to a storage facility under law enforcement supervision. The Superior Police Department is investigating after a man was found deceased in the middle of the road around Wisconsin Point. According to law enforcement authorities, officers responded to reports of a man lying in the middle of the road at around 1:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. First responders attempted life-saving measures when they arrived, but the 53-year-old Superior man was pronounced deceased at the scene. The Superior Police Department is still working to identify the cause of death and have not yet released his identity. Barron County public health officials are inviting residents to a presentation on tick-borne illnesses on Thursday evening. A representative from Barron County Public Health will host the presentation at the Thomas St. Angelo Public Library of Cumberland on Thursday at 5:30 p.m. The most common tick-borne illness in the state is Lyme disease from deer ticks, but some can carry more severe diseases like Powassan virus or alpha-gal syndrome. Residents interested in attending the event should register ahead by phone or by emailing the library. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. There will be some new characters in the second installment of the Wicked feature film franchise. The Wicked 2, more specifically, Wicked for Good trailer, just dropped, and it features Dorothy, the Scarecrow, and Tin Man. Universal says this is the final trailer before the film's release November 21st of this year. Wicked for Good is a follow-up to 2024's Oscar-nominated Wicked. If you're looking for a new sports documentary, you're in luck. Clemente is the story of one of the best baseball players ever whose career and life ended way too soon. It is now available for streaming on the History Channel and explores baseball great Roberto Clemente's life on and off the field from his early struggles to becoming one of the best players in the game, as well as one of the most beloved. Clemente died in a plane crash in 1972 while delivering aid to Nicaragua. The film is executive produced by basketball great LeBron James and film directing great Richard Linklater. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 75 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop to a low of 50. Tomorrow, another nice day, sunshine with a high of 72. And this sunny, warmer than average weather will continue through the weekend and most of next week. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s. With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Maggie Dawn.
Broadcasting live from the Reisinger family Hilltop Farm. We talk to the Reisingers about their family farming tradition, the Farmer Angel Network about the mental health crisis impacting agricultural communities, and last, the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back. Live from Madison Studio A2 here with Parker Olson producing. In the same room together. It's hard to tell, but yes, we are here.
It's an experience.
It is an experience, yes. So we'll do that again today and again tomorrow. Anyway, it's a Thursday morning, which means that on Friday morning, I will be starting to tease our question of the week in our Sunday morning newsletter. But this week's question is, who's to blame if there's another government shutdown, which could happen in the middle of next week? If you want to be among the first to see the question of the week and respond to it, sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. Let's talk about your money in the markets after the opening bell here with Sean O'Malley and then Joe Zepecki to follow in just a little bit. Our theme would be squirrels. Squirrels that are burying acorns, they sure are in my backyard. They're just going crazy. It's making me a little nervous about winter. We know that businesses have been stockpiling inventories, but what about employees? What about workers, job seekers, things like that? What kind of, are we seeing similar behavior, like a wariness of what may be yet to come in the economy?
Yes, absolutely, Pat. Everybody is basically going for the safety play, is going for the known rather than the unknown. So what you're seeing is that the labor market is actually starting to freeze up. This is because fewer Americans are willing to quit their jobs. And hiring, of course, has slowed because there are fewer jobs to be had, which results in a labor market that overall has increasingly limited mobility. There's nobody, you know, trading one job for another. So everything's sort of just holding steady, kind of frozen, if you will. And all of this is kind of ironic because the job dissatisfaction rates among U.S. workers keeps rising. But they're staying put in their jobs because of the economic uncertainty. So they're making sure that they keep getting those nuts to, you know, store away for wintertime. And they're not taking any chances. They're not taking any flyers on, oh, let me start a new job. Let me leave my job and start a new business. There's just too much uncertainty to really feel like you can do that with confidence.
How does that tie in, or does it tie in with some of the latest weekly initial jobless claims numbers?
Yeah, the weekly initial jobless numbers were not horrible, 218,000. So it is moderating a bit. But we'll see what the full picture looks like when we're looking at, you know, the unemployment numbers. You still have, you know, just limited hiring going on. So even though, thank heavens, we're seeing fewer people file initial jobless claims, there are, and if the trend continues that we've seen the last several months, there's not going to be nearly enough replacement to keep the jobs picture growing. And it's been, as we've talked about several times before, very anemic for the last handful of months.
Go bury those acorns, people. Sean O'Malley, thank you very much for the update on your money and the markets. Have a good start to the weekend.
Thanks, Pat. You too.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Joe Zepecki now to talk about some of the headlines of the week, which certainly include the aforementioned possible government shutdown, the entry of Tom Tiffany into the governor's race, and more. Joe, how are you today?
I'm okay.
Okay. Much like talking to Melissa yesterday, we were talking about ragweed and seasonal allergies and things like that. Are you one of the people laid low by that?
I would not ever describe myself as laid low, Pat. I'm pretty tough to lay low. But if you can hear my voice, I may not be operating at peak capacity today.
Well,
but that's different than being laid low.
Yes, that's vocal capacity, is mental acuity, sharp as ever. So how would you welcome Republican Tom Tiffany to the 2026 Wisconsin governor's race?
Come on in, Tom. The water's fine. This is a boon for Democrats. This guy is the immediate front runner for the Republican nomination. I don't know if you've heard, but Bill Berrien hasn't had the best week.
No, he has not.
People are beside themselves with a Congress that refuses to stand up to Donald Trump, who cannot legislate or govern. And when they do, one time in, what are we on here, 230 or 40 days of the Trump 2.0 presidency, what they do is, like Tom Tiffany, vote to add $4 trillion to the national debt, kick hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites off health care, make it harder for rural hospitals to operate, all so they can give another handout to millionaires and billionaires. And Tom Tiffany and the Republican Party, in their infinite wisdom, go, I know what the people want. That. Okay, come on in, Tommy.
And so in he is. And I mean, that's without even going, you know, on his attempt to shift his position on women's reproductive health rights. I mean, the economic issues alone tell you that Tom Tiffany is not going to appeal to moderate voters. He's going to have to work really hard or scare them with something else. But, you know, to be fair, I guess, if fair is the right word, Tom Tiffany's original state Senate district and his congressional district, those positions he has, you know, they serve him well in those deep red districts. It's just that now he may be in for a bit of an awakening when it comes to trying to win a statewide race.
Among the things that Congress has been derelict in, among the things that Tom Tiffany apparently can't be bothered to figure out while he's plotting his run for governor, is how to stop a tariff war that is killing farmers in his own district. Good luck selling soybeans right now. Farmers across Wisconsin are going, what the hell is happening? And Tom Tiffany and MAGA Republicans can't be bothered to put a check on this president's clearly illegal tariffs that are killing their ability to move goods to market. I understand. This is what I'll say to defend Tom Tiffany. I can understand why you wouldn't want to be in Washington, D.C. or serving in the Republican Congress right now, but good grief, man, do something. Your people in Northern Wisconsin hired you to fight for them. And he can't be bothered to do that because it would annoy Donald Trump. And so I understand why he wants to get out of the swamp, but I don't understand what case he thinks he can legitimately make and say, this is when I stood up for my people. This is when I went to fight for our farmers. This is when I got out of bed and said, Wisconsin manufacturers need an ally, and I'm going to be it. How can he do that? I don't think he can.
We're talking to Joe Zepecki. Let's go over to the Democratic side, where last hour we had Devin Remiker, the state Democratic Party chair, on. And I asked him about, you know, what will most likely be many contentious Democratic primaries for congressional seats, for legislative seats, and, of course, certainly for governor. And, you know, he answers as a state party chair should. But Joe, in terms of, you know, what your own advice as a strategist would be, again, I know varies from candidate to candidate and from district to district. So let me ask it in some kind of a broad overarching way, and then you go wherever you want with this. But should there be a concern that the primary is August 11th next year, that August 12th, the headline will be Democrats in complete disarray after several bruising primaries? And if so, how do they avoid having a headline like that?
There are 319 days until August 11th. That is several political lifetimes. And I don't buy that there are going to be contentious Democratic primaries. I think there will be competitive Democratic primaries. And they don't have to be contentious. Look no further than your two interview guests this morning. Devin and I ran against each other in what is basically a primary. We didn't get contentious. I think the Democratic Party emerged stronger from that process because people had an opportunity to hear competing visions, not like huge differences, but we kept it civil. We kept it above board. We talked about how we were going to revitalize the Democratic Party, and Devin came out ahead. And my message every single day since then has been, we need Devin to succeed. We need a strong Democratic Party. There's no contentiousness. So there doesn't have to be contentiousness after a primary. There doesn't have to be disarray. And I don't think there will be, because Democrats from tip to tail across this state understand the gravity of the moment we're in, where a mega majority Congress is abdicating its constitutional responsibility to be a check and balance on an out of control president who is undermining the rule of law, who is destroying due process, who is, you know, launched this insane tariff war with our best trading partners. Like, that's the focus. And I believe that Democrats will keep their eyes on the prize. And after competitive primaries, everybody will be on the same team the next day going, we need to elect a pro-democracy and therefore big D Democratic majority to the United States House. We need to hold on to the governor's mansion, and we need to flip control of the Wisconsin state legislature. That's what's going to happen.
As noted on YouTube from Tony, he says, Joe Zepecki and Devin Remiker, where's William Garcia? Well, I tell you what, William Garcia, the chair of the 3rd Congressional District, Dems, is welcome anytime, especially given recent events, Joe, about their congressman, Derek Van Orden. And I know we've discussed it before, but I do feel like, and I don't feel like I'm comparing apples to oranges in talking about Derek Van Orden and Jimmy Kimmel being brought back by ABC. In both cases, I feel like there's now been a backlash to the backlash, where people have said, hey, we get that you were upset about, you know, the Charlie Kirk killing, but you guys have gone way overboard with your reaction to it.
Well, I think we have to detach the two issues. Political violence is wrong, full stop. Charlie Kirk's widow, Erica, at that memorial service on Sunday, did one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen in forgiving her husband's assassin. I mean, that is actual, like, wow. How does anybody get there? That is over here. On the other hand, you have, again, this out-of-control president who is clearly looking for a pretext to fire Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, among the insanity of this week was Republicans rushing out to the shows and going online and saying, no, this wasn't government censorship. And then as soon as Kimmel goes back on the air, Donald Trump is like, yeah, it was. I still want him gone. And so those are two separate issues to me, and it just underscores the gravity of the moment that we're in.
It does. And again, the inability of leaders on the political right to try to strike any kind of chord of unity, witnessing, you know, how J.D. Vance reacted to the shooting at an ICE facility in Dallas yesterday. These are folks in Vance and Van Orden and Trump and others who quite seriously need to have to take their phones taken away, take that little tiny keyboard away, and maybe react like leaders and grownups.
Yeah, J.D. Vance, the vice president of the United States, he has access to information. And for him to rush out and ascribe a motive before any information is known is the height of irresponsibility.
Joe Zepecki's here with us, and we will be joined by Todd Alba in just a bit for some final news and notes from here on Lake Wissota. From here in Madison.
Hey, it took you a while to get tripped up.
Yeah, look, it took until 8:48. Good for me. Yeah,
not bad.
For where we're going to be today, and then again tomorrow, doing the programs from here. And tomorrow, of course, we'll have our, by and large, our regular weekend review panel. So stick around for that. Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens with a weekend sports update. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Swing big at Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward, bringing you the golf for the green and gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Mention Big G and get $20 off your next round. Hurry, offer ends October 31st.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline.
So I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural references only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Are unauthorized immigrants eligible for federal Medicaid coverage? No. Unauthorized immigrants are not eligible for traditional federally funded Medicaid health insurance and never have been. A 1996 law also requires most authorized immigrants to wait 5 years for eligibility. 14 states, not including Wisconsin, use state funds to cover unauthorized immigrants. President Trump has proposed cutting federal Medicaid funds to those states, which could drop 1.4 million people from health care coverage. In Wisconsin, Medicaid covers 1.28 million people at a cost of $12.1 billion. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay.
Big Fish Golf Club in Hayward is teeing it up with the Go for the Green and Gold text to win on WBZH, the Buzz of the North. Say my name, Big G, and slice $20 off your next round, now through October 31st.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is normally the time when I would tell you to stick around for Matt and Air on Air that's coming up next with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach. And normally I would have in front of me something that would tell me about guests or anything like that. But hanging out here in Madison, having a good time with Parker, and it occurs to me, I didn't do that. I will tell you that on the Todd Alba Show coming up later today, Dan Schaefer will be I don't have to do that. Todd Alba's here. Right here, along with Joe Sopecki, who continues with us. Todd, how are you? And who the heck is on your show today?
I'm well. Gentlemen, good to see you all. We have the great Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor. I know Dan's going to want to talk politics, but I'm going to ask him his second love, which is there truly a connection of keeping Giannis Antetokounmpo there by signing his brother? We'll be talking a little Bucks strategy. And, of course, the Crew back in town in Milwaukee for their final home game. The regular season, they have one game left to secure the number one overall seed in baseball, which would give them home field advantage and fan field throughout the World Series. I don't want to jinx it.
You crossed your fingers there.
I know. And then we've got Keegan Kelly from Crack.com, entertainment writer on the ramifications of Jimmy Kimmel coming back to ABC and what that means for free speech and entertainment and all of us. And we'll pay tribute to Pat Kreitlow with talking about him grousing about the fact he has his old logo behind him. Oh, yes, I wasn't the one to put my own face on my logo.
Well, that's true.
I offered to put the current logo back there. No, I just put the Up North News one.
We have an updated Up North News logo that I needed to get you, and I neglected to do that. So Joe Specky's here as well. Joe, you said you wanted to take a crack at our question of the week from our Sunday morning newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. Who is to blame if there's a government shutdown next week? Is it congressional Republicans who can't shoot straight? Is it Democrats who are being obstinate and a lot of Americans are going to hurt from a government shutdown? Or is it President Trump more so than congressional Republicans because Mr. Art of the Deal should be able to work something out? A lot of our answers have been they want to pick A and C, which to me is like, no, you can't get away with that. Is it more on the congressional Republicans or is it more on Trump or is it the Democrats? Joe, where do you come down?
It's on Republicans who control the White House, the Senate, and the U.S. House of Representatives. Democrats have like the tiniest little smidgebot of power in Washington. And what they are saying is, oh, you need just the tiniest little smidgebot of help to keep the government open? Great. We are prepared to deal. Here's the deal. We want you to stop healthcare costs from going even higher on 20 million Americans. And so if you would just do that one thing, which is probably to your benefit politically, then we'll get you the votes you need. And Republicans can't be bothered to say, yeah, that seems like a good trade. So clearly, it is not as simple as it's Donald Trump or congressional Republicans. It's the whole lot of them.
The whole all schmear.
Democrats, all Democrats want is for 20 million people to not have to pay even more for healthcare next year, and Republicans can't be bothered. Give me a break.
But if they don't do that, and if there is a shutdown, and a lot of people do get hurt, the question, Todd Alba, becomes, I don't know, is the question whether a few Democrats cave to end the shutdown, or is the question when will a few Democrats cave to end the shutdown? As Todd Alba likes to say, what say you?
I blame Bill Berrien because he's bringing back an old 1990s Bill Clinton strategy of triangulation.
Not that so, kind of I triangulation. Mean, No.
So that's who I would blame. I really hope Democrats hold their ground. But I mean, Pat, you've been an elected official. I lost two primaries. I think when you're hearing from your constituents and they're saying we're not going to vote for you again unless you do something, quote unquote, that puts a lot of pressure on people. I would never second guess Joe Specky. I guess I would put a little bit more on Trump. I mean, after all, he's the guy who said, I alone killed immigration. I alone controlled the budget. If Donald Trump really wanted a budget passed and to save Americans from hurt, apparently he could do that. So I would put it back on him.
Donald Trump will always shoot the hostage. I mean, he's even preparing for massive layoffs over and above what a shutdown would call for, Joe. So it is a fair question to you as well, is can Democrats in Congress hold the line so that public pressure eventually comes down against congressional Republicans and Trump?
They need to. The economy is teetering right now. The last thing we need is a extended government shutdown. And if that's what happens, it is the fault of Republicans from one end of Pennsylvania Avenue to another.
Now will they get that successfully messaged that way? That finally becomes the trick. Todd, I know I'm sure you've mentioned it ad nauseum on your show, but Tom Tiffany entered the governor's race, and you and I have not talked about it here. Joe and I have both talked about how he does not have a record built for the moderate voter, and so he might have a tougher row to hoe than some other Republicans who could get in, but is that something that he can overcome with enough, you know, funding and consultants and everything like that?
I echo other people that said this is probably, if Trump decides to endorse Tiffany, probably the biggest gift Democrats could have in a general election. I've had the displeasure of being in the same room with Tom Tiffany when I worked with my old boss in the state Senate. He is not deep when it comes to understanding issues, and he goes to the lowest hanging fruit. You already saw some pretty hateful and easy things for a Republican to go after in a general election. And I agree with Joe and others that I just don't think that plays across the state of Wisconsin.
And you know, the last thing I'll say about it is he loves, and he keeps using it this week, he loves the phrase communist China. And anytime somebody says communist China instead of China, tells me it's right in line with what you said about being not particularly deep on the issues. Joe Zepecki, Todd Alba, thanks to both of you guys. Have a great rest of your day.
Feel better, Joe. Have some tea.
There you go. Some Brewers. That's right. We got that coming for us. Thank you. And thanks to all of you for joining us as well. I'm Pat Kreitler here in Madison. Back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Have a great day.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump's new U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia is moving ahead with a case against former FBI Director James Comey, even though staff prosecutors insist there is not enough evidence there. ABC Chief Legal Analyst Dan Abrams on allegations that Comey lied under oath.
I dug into every statement that Comey has made, and it's going to be a really hard case if they bring this, because for perjury, you have to prove the person knew what they were saying was false. And you go through each of the statements about leaks and about the investigation. Much of this stuff has been reviewed by the inspector general already.
As the Democrats fight to restore health care funding in the next budget, the White House is threatening that federal workers furloughed if there is a government shutdown will lose their jobs permanently. An uptick in consumer spending helped the economy grow at a surprising 3.8% in the second quarter.